Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hi, this is Joe Campanelli, the host of In the Drink. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, America. I'm Chad Pagano. I'm a former Army sniper, a chef instructor at the Institute of Culinary Education, and an avid lifelong hunter. And you're listening to The Wild Game Domain, From the Hunt to the Hearth, airing live on heritageradionetwork.org. And today, we are joined by the founders of 10th Mountain Whiskey Spirit Company in Vail, Colorado. Thanks for joining us today. I really appreciate it. So, you know, I got to tell you, I'm going to throw this out there because I feel like we're family already. I served in the 10th Mountain Division. You guys started a company called the 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. And when I came across it, it's funny because it's actually a friend of mine from down south, a big bourbon drinker, a Kentucky guy. And he sent me a picture of your bottle and he said, "Do you believe this?" And I wouldn't say he was being negative, but he was being skeptical at best. So let's start at the beginning. How did two guys end up in Vail, Colorado, and decide to start a whiskey company?
Sure, absolutely right. We get that question a lot. Well, Christian and I both moved to the Vail area in the late 90s. I was bartending for a couple of years and started a restaurant in 2002. And then a couple of years ago, I was ready for a new challenge.
And where was all this? In Colorado?
What's that?
Where are you originally from?
I grew up, this is Ryan talking, I grew up in Houston, Texas originally.
Okay. So you moved
this
to Colorado.
Christian.
Yep.
And I grew up in upstate New York in the Adirondacks, kind of between Lake George and Lake Placid, and then moved here in the late 90s as well, and started a masonry and outdoor living business here in the valley, and we do work all over Colorado for masonry work. And then about 4 years ago, Ryan and I decided that somebody had to make whiskey in this town.
Nice. I love that. Now, so the Adirondacks, so you're familiar with the, who's that, Ryan or Christian? I'm sorry.
The Adirondacks. This is Christian.
Christian. So, I mean, 10th Mountain must have come up in some conversations being from the Adirondack Mountains in that area over there.
Well, my grandfather was in the original 10th Mountain Division. He was a medic. He was from upstate New York.
Wow.
He trained at Camp Hale, which is, you know, close to where Vail is today.
Yep.
In the 1940s, and have a long history so of skiing and the 10th Mountain, veterans, and growing up around them. So when it came time to name the business, Ryan and I did not want to just use something generic like Vail Whiskey Company. We wanted to have something with a historical meaning, not just to the area, Colorado, but also really to the people around this country that recognize there's a historical component to our business and a mountain lifestyle component, which obviously the 10th Mountain Division really, really started mountain lifestyle as we know it today.
Sure. So the two places you've been associated with most of your life has a proud tradition of honoring 10th Mountain Division, you know, obviously upstate New York and then Vail, Colorado, where the guys trained prior to going over in World War II. So and that's a bravery. I served in the 10th, but those guys back then, that's a bravery I can't understand. But so what's the timeline? How long have you been, have you guys been set up in Vail, Colorado now?
Well, about 4 years ago, Christian and I were sitting around and after a mountain bike ride, actually having a beer and a whiskey. And we thought that someone needed to make whiskey in this town. It might as well be us. And we were both ready for a new challenge. And so we started looking into it, put one foot in front of the other, and went off to Moonshine University about 2 years ago now.
Okay.
It's actually a school in Louisville, Kentucky, of all places. And went to that and got hands-on distilling practice there and learned the ins and outs, the science and the chemistry behind distilling, the day-to-day operations. Came back to Vail, wrote a business plan, And so 2 years after that, here we are today, and we opened up our tasting room in Vail Village this past September, on September 5th. And so we're just a couple months into this business venture of selling, of being live. We started distilling just over a year ago now. We have a 7,000 square foot facility we're distilling at in Gypsum, Colorado, which is about 30 minutes west of Vail. So it's a new venture for us, but we've certainly been working on it longer than what most people think. So
that's awesome. Now, are you guys actually distilling your own product, or have you farmed it out to another company? I mean, are you guys in there with the equipment, yeah, the process, the whole thing?
Yeah, great question. We are distilling our own products. We started selling a young rye and a younger baby bourbon, but we also sell a vodka, an unaged whiskey, and an Alpenglow cordial as well. We have a 500-gallon combination pot and column still from Vendome, the guys that have been making stills in this country since the early 1900s, out of Louisville, of all places as well. And so it's we've named the 500-gallon still the War Angel after nice, some of those guys up there at in Watertown. So
that's awesome. Now, take me to the beginning of this. I mean, obviously, there's requirements for calling something an alcohol or a beverage, you know, whiskey or bourbon. Can you walk me through that and kind of tie it in with your kind of overall business concept? I mean, you said you're selling something called a young bourbon, you know. Obviously, I'm thinking that's something you want to kind of get out. It's not aged as long. You know, you're a young company. You want to start selling something. But can you kind of walk me through that process and that decision making?
Well, I mean, a couple different points there. I mean, our product, we really wanted to come out with a spirits company, so we have the ability to do different spirits over a long period of time. And obviously, brown spirits of all kinds right now, from tequilas to different whiskeys, are very, very popular. You know, we felt that vodka makes up a massive percentage of the hard spirits market, and both Ryan and I, you know, enjoyed potato vodka, so that's the direction we wanted to go with that. We also know that most people are, you know, they're cognizant of moonshine as something that will burn your throat out, but it is the precursor to a good whiskey. I mean, it's a young, unaged whiskey. So we did a cut-down moonshine, which is very drinkable. It's 80 proof, all corn, so people can really use it like a vodka, as a mixer. People actually will drink it on the rocks once in a while. So we kind of started with those two clear spirits, and we'll continue those. And then we did our bourbon whiskey, which is a pretty traditional mash bill. It's about 75% corn in ours, but we had to get going somehow, and obviously waiting for 4 years was not in their business plan.
Right.
We don't have pockets that deep. So, you know, we did start with something that's younger. And most people have this notion that bourbon whiskey has to be from Kentucky, has to be 4 years old. It doesn't. It's really about the mash bill being 51% or more corn, being aged in new oak, American white oak barrels. So it could be in a barrel for 5 minutes, 50 years. And in our rye as well, we're starting with a young product. But what we found is in this area, since we have altitude, we have massive temperature swings, especially where the distillery's at. And also we've been playing around for a while with different pressures with the barrels, different altitudes, and releasing pressure. So, you know, we feel that our products that are roughly 6 months are coming in more like a 2-year product.
Wow.
And, you know, I think as time goes on, we're only going to build and do a 2 or 4 year probably on most of our products, our age products. But it's still, you know, with our name, it doesn't limit us to not doing a gin in the future, a variation of our cordial we've got right now. We might do a different one. We've got all kinds of different things up our sleeves, since we've got a gin basket, which is on the side of the still, and it really allows us to do a lot of different aromatics over a period of time. But, you know, like Ryan said, we just started selling in September, and one thing at a time. So Hopefully that gives you a little background on the spirit.
Yeah, no, I get it now. And I wanted to talk to you guys because, a lot of, like I said, a lot of guys I even served with, when I told them I was going to be talking to you guys, I heard them rolling their eyes over the phone that you guys would have, I don't know, how do I say this properly, the guts to kind of claim to be a whiskey company in Vail, Colorado. And one of my friends who's really into whiskeys and bourbons, you know, was kind of explaining to me about the barrels and humidity and the how the oak will react to different environments. And I said, well, I don't know. I'm going to ask them and we'll see what they say. Now, he also mentioned the water and he was talking about iron content in the water. It's got to be a very low, I guess, soft water. Is what you guys, and I said, well, the last I heard, Colorado's got really good water. Does that help your products, hurt your products? Do you filter it? Do you start with the purest water you can? How does that work?
We have water that comes right from basically it's the Gypsum Creek, which is a runoff creek from pretty much the New York mountains, and it runs through the Gypsum Valley. Yeah, and it's no melt water. So the interesting thing is where we are, where the distillery's at is Gypsum, Colorado, which is a small town west of Vail, but hence the name Gypsum is in the water itself, and a lot of the mineral gypsum, and it's one of the largest gypsum wallboard plants in the country right next door. So we have a very perfect mineral content water naturally right there, so it's been fantastic, actually, and everybody's been really really pleased with how everything's coming out.
And so that lends what? That lends flavor profile to your alcohols, to your drinks, what am I calling it, your booze, your spirits?
So to Christian's point, the water, certainly any water that you use to proof down the spirits with is going to add some type of flavor, a flavor profile to the whiskey. A lot of people don't realize that whiskeys, all alcohols, come off the still at a lot higher proof than what it actually ends up being bottled at.
Right.
And you get it bottling proof by adding your water to it. And that's why the water is one of the reasons why the water is extremely important, because you're adding it to proof down the spirit to bottling proof, be it 70 proof, 80 proof, 90 proof, 100 proof. You do see some cask strength whiskeys out there that are straight from the barrel to the bottle. Those aren't necessarily proofed down. But even before then, the water that you use in your mash bill and your beginning recipe, that's super important as well. So water certainly does play a big role in the overall flavor profile of your end product.
And now you guys said, I think you mentioned before, 75% corn mash. Is that the term? That sounds high to me. I was researching this, and I was looking at most companies, and they were talking something, in the 50s, mid-50s for their corn mash. So it seems like you're going way higher than most companies.
Yeah, it depends on what you're making. To make a bourbon, you have to be at least 51% corn or more. You can make bourbon anywhere in the U.S. It doesn't have to be just in Kentucky. We get that question a lot. People ask, how can you make a bourbon when you live in Colorado? You can make a bourbon anywhere in the U.S. It could be Hawaii, Alaska, Florida, New York, Colorado. It doesn't matter. But it just has to be, one of the requirements is that it has to be at least 51% corn. The remaining 49% can be any ratio of grains, but it has to be at least 51% corn. The other factor that Christian had touched on, it has to be aged in American new oak barrels for some amount of time. That could be 5 minutes, could be 5 years, it could be 25 years. But it does have to be aged in American new oak barrels for some amount of time. And that's why a lot of people are a bit hesitant. Oh, you're making a bourbon in Colorado, you can't do that. Well, you can. It's just a matter of educating the public on the specific legality and requirements of making bourbon. So
Does that help clarify some things?
Yeah,
like that?
No, that's cool. I get it. Research, I'm a bourbon fan myself, so researching it a little bit kind of brought up some old points. You know, it's all myth and lore, right? Like Bourbon County, where it started supposedly, or was it named after the French family? My thing is we're here now, and obviously we got guys doing small batch bourbons here in Brooklyn and all over. And I appreciate that. You know, I want to try the different bourbons. I can't, I'll be honest with you, in full disclosure, I haven't tried your bourbon yet. I can't wait. And I want to put it side by side with, you know, something from Kentucky or Tennessee and see how your whiskeys kind of line up there. And to me, if you're getting a different flavor profile or something slightly different, that's great for the business. I think outside of, you know, buying your bourbon from Kentucky, it's kind of boring. You know, if we could go and try something from Colorado, why wouldn't I?
Exactly right. Absolutely. Each end of it, and like you mentioned, there's distilleries popping up all across the country. You even have one in your backyard there in Brooklyn. It's said within the industry that we're about 20 years behind the craft brewing industry. Right now, there's about 400 distilleries around the country. A lot of whom are making whiskeys and bourbons. And each one's going to have a little bit different flavor profile depending on their local ingredients and their local and territorial influence on their products. So it's really exciting. You don't have to get bourbon from Louisville anymore or from Kentucky anymore. You can get it from, I'd say at this point, the majority of states. There's probably one close by to your backyard, I imagine, at this point. So what's interesting with ours, as Christian mentioned, we do an altitude aging. So we age at 10,000 feet, then we take it down to 5,000 feet and go back and forth, and that helps that wood oak barrel breathe a little bit better. And so the whiskey is going in and out of that wood, taking on those different flavors from the American oak. And so when we taste people in our tasting room, they ask, how old's your bourbon? Or how old's the rye whiskey? We don't tell them straight up. We give them a sip, and then we get their opinion on how old they think it is. And even some very experienced bourbon drinkers will even say, this tastes like a 2-year, 4-year. We've even got 7 or 8 years. Wow. And then we tell them it's a 6-month bourbon, and they're blown away by it. Even if you're not doing some extracurriculars in the aging process, 75% of flavors are taken of the whiskey is influenced by the first 6 months of being in the barrel. So that's why we're able to have such a young product and why it's being very well received at this point.
Which brings up the question, and then after this we got to take a real short break, but are you adding outside flavors or is the flavor derived from the process, from the barrel, from that altitude, or are you guys splashing a little vanilla now? Are you cheating, in my mind? Or can you explain that process?
Our brown spirits are all barrel-aged, and that's it. Other than our water and our mash bill and our barrels, that's 100%.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there are no extra additives, no vanilla, no caramel added to it.
That's awesome. All right, guys, listen, we got to take a short break here, and then we'll come back, and I want to talk about the future of your company and talk a little bit about the tasting room and what you guys are doing there. So let's take a short break, and we'll be right back with the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network.
The following program was brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons. Edwards Suriano hams are aged to perfection for no less than 400 days and hickory smoked to achieve a deep mahogany color. The Edwards name is well known for its world-class aged and cured meats. Their exclusive curing and aging recipe produces a unique flavor profile that enhances the quality characteristics of Berkshire pork. Optimum amounts of pure white fat marbling contribute to a flavor that's a delicate, perfect balance between sweet and salty. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to the Wild Game Domain on Heritage Radio Network, and I am joined today by Ryan Thompson and Christian Avion from 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. All right, guys. So the tasting room, can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. It's a 900-square-foot tasting room in the heart of Vail Village. People can come and enjoy a tasting flight, which consists of half-ounce pours of all five of our spirits. It's a $25 price tag on it, and you get $5 credit, and you get to keep your souvenir tasting glass. We also have a bunch of different merchandise, from T-shirts and hats to glassware and decanters, stickers and whatnot. That you can get at the tasting room. You can also go online and get all the merchandise too. It was designed for people to come in and learn a little about the distillation process, learn about the 10th Mountain Division, learn about Camp Hale, why Vail is here today. Vail was originally founded by one of the 10th Mountain vets when he got back from World War II. So it's an educational process. It's designed for people to make a personal connection with the product, with the 10th Mountain, with Vail itself, to establish new friendships and to have a good time.
That's awesome, especially as a guy who served in the 10th. You know, I could appreciate that. Now, you said before you were out on a mountain bike. You're in Vail, Colorado, the outdoors. Do you guys do any hunting or any kind of what kind of outdoor activities are you guys into?
I'm an avid fly fisherman in the summertime.
Nice.
I enjoy getting on the river, and we have some fantastic waters around here. That's a blast to fish. So I really enjoy doing that. Christian and I are both big skiers ourselves. Do a lot of backcountry skiing. In the summertime, we do a lot of mountain biking as well. I think it's a shorter list of what we don't do than it's so.
Yeah, being out there in Vail, I'm sure that's the life. So as you tie in your business with the 10th Mountain, you know, and again, I've talking to some people about you guys, 10th Mountain guys, and half of them were like, wow, that's really cool. I want to go to their website. I want to check it out. The other half was offended. They said, what? These guys are making money off the 10th Mountain Division. Guys are dying. What gives them the right to do that? Can you talk about that a little bit? Do you have any problems? Did you question yourself when you were doing it? Did you think you'd be perceived as guys who were trying to capitalize on a famous, you know, army division? Did that enter the fray at all?
You know, when we were thinking of names, there's really such a huge history to the 10th, because we wanted to create a mountain lifestyle company, and there's no better way to give a tribute to the 10th Mountain Division, both from World War II right up until present day, when guys are serving in, you know, the Middle East. Basically, the original 10 soldiers started the mountain industry, ski areas, apparel companies, you know, outdoor equipment companies. They really founded the industry, and today a lot of the veterans that have been serving recently are coming back to do, you know, amazing things as well. And so we felt that it's a great tribute to the 10th Mountain Division. And, you know, we didn't say 10th Mountain Division because we couldn't in our name, okay. 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company. And with my grandfather being in the 10th, you know, Ryan and I are both super hardworking people. And that's who I grew up with, was original veterans who were part of that greatest generation. And they worked hard. They made every single day better than the last one, and that we want to continue. And they worked hard, and they played hard, and that's what we're all about, and that usually involves a few cocktails.
That's awesome. And do you guys work with any charities or you know, organizations that would help veterans?
Yeah, absolutely. On a local level, the Vail Veterans Program, and we also support the 10th Foundation and the Wounded Warrior Project with all in-kind donations, but also hands-on. We're hosting the Vail Veterans Program here in just a couple weeks at our tasting room. We're working with the 10th Foundation this summertime to do a couple events with them.
and then the Wounded Warrior Project on a national level as well. So that's super important to us to be able to not only give back with in-kind donations, but also with our own two hands as well. To speak on the reception of 10th Mountain Vets with the company name, it's been overwhelmingly positive from original vets that are now in their 90s or mid 90s versus all the way to the currently enlisted soldiers. One of the most inspiring connections we've made is with General Carpenter, who has reached out to us with words of encouragement and is extremely excited to have a whiskey company named after the division that he was involved with for so long. Just recently, there was a Purple Heart recipient of the 10th Mountain that reached out to us with extremely positive words of encouragement as well. We could sit here all day long and just talk about stories of the connections we've made with current soldiers and vets within the last couple of years. And they've just been overwhelmingly positive. So, and we're going to be doing an internship with a vet this coming up summer at our distillery who's interested in learning the process and possibly starting his own. So it's extremely important for us to honor the 10th Mountain guys, do everything right with the company and make sure it's done on a certain level that makes the 10th Mountain Division proud. So that's extremely important for us.
That's awesome. And there was something interesting in one of your emails. You wrote something and it said, awareness that creativity and determination in all walks of life can create a better tomorrow. And then I was kind of looking at it and I said, wow, that's great. And then I thought, what the hell is he talking about? What do you mean by that? And how does that reflect in your company or in what you're doing out there right now?
Yeah, I mean, we are a whiskey spirits company, but moreover, we're a mountain lifestyle company. And I think that what Ryan and I want to, you know, achieve is if somebody has our bourbon or our rye, or whatever spirit, wherever they're at in this country, if it means getting a little piece of the mountains, which usually mountains is a piece, you know, it's really a spot of solitude and peace for a lot of people.
Sure.
I know that, you know, personally, when Ryan and I climb a mountain, you're on top of it. No matter how hard your day, your week, your month has been, everything else, you know, kind of gets shut out. And if people can take a little bit of that, you know, drive, determination to conquer something and get through it wherever they're at and enjoy a little bit of our spirit, that's simple mountain lifestyle. And, you know, you work hard and you play hard, and we want to spread that.
That's awesome. I love it. I love what you guys are doing out there. Now, how can people find your product?
Yeah, easiest way is to go on tenthwhiskey.com, and that's 10th, and whiskey with an E.com. And that will show you the different locations around Colorado that we're in. There's also a merchandise shop there where you can buy the product, learn a little bit more about Christian and I's background and the distillation process. So that's the best spot there is tenthwhiskey.com.
Okay, awesome, guys. I want to thank you guys for joining us today. Very interesting topic, and I'm going to wish you guys the best of luck, and I can't wait to try your product.
Thank you very much. Hey, one more thing I'd like to mention as well is if you call our tasting room for all the vets out there, we do offer a 10% military discount, and our tasting room phone number is 970-470-4215, and just mention that you're a vet. In any part of the military, and we're happy to provide a military discount there. So
I'm going to actually be on vacation this summer out in Colorado. I'm going to definitely come in there and take advantage of my 10% discount.
Well, you're darn right, you bet, and we'll be happy to host you and show you around the whole place. So make sure you hit us up.
Yeah, thank you, man. That'd be great.
Awesome, our pleasure. Thanks for having us on this morning. I really appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Thank you very much, and best of luck to you.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
All right. So that's all the time we have for today's show. If you want to check them out, 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company in Vail, Colorado. They have an excellent website, by the way. I was on their website. It's really cool. I'm going to go home now and actually order some of their bourbon and find out. I should have asked them about that mail order bourbon. Is that even possible? The government probably got involved in that. You probably got to be 21 or something. So that's all the time we have today. I'd like to thank Jack for producing and engineering today's show. You can always find archived episodes of The Wild Game Domain from the Hunt to the Hearth on heritageradionetwork.org or on iTunes as a podcast. Thank you to the guys from 10th Mountain Whiskey and Spirit Company, Ryan and Christian. Really appreciate it. And remember, if you kill it, you eat it. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us with questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.